So the Broncos did speak to media members yesterday. Greg Penner, George Payton, and Sean Payton all talked. And again, like I said to start the show, we didn't really learn a whole lot. Here is Greg Penner kind of just talking about, you know, what their goals are. Like, is this the impatient one saying we're just as impatient as you, or is this about just kind of about how they could have handled the Russell Wilson thing better? Okay, this one is about how, you know, it all went down with Russ, even back in October, to where they are now. Here is Greg Penner of the Denver Broncos.
You know, I'd say anytime you have a situation like this, it's you know, you try and have these conversations. It's not always going to be easy. I'm sure that we could have handled. You know, you always look back and there's different ways you can handle things. So I'm sure in this case we probably could have done some things in a different way. But again, our goal was to try and see if there was a nice constructive path forward that was amenable to both parties.
Like, maybe not threatening to bench him if he doesn't amend his contract. They asked. That was the threat. Didn't uphold that. Didn't force that, but it was part of it.
I know the ownership wasn't in place when they signed the extension, but is he referring to that contract situation?
No. See, and the ownership was in place when they signed the extension. He's talking about from October to now.
Okay.
This is recent October. But that was their first offseason. It became finalized in the spring, I believe, of the year. And then, so they were kind of a part of the Russ deal. They signed off on it. They were good with it. And then they were good with the extension. It wasn't that long ago. It was last year. I mean, a year and a half ago, I guess, when they extended him. George Payton talked a little bit, too, about the future. What's next for the Broncos? Also about Russ's future, but here's kind of a mix of that. Here's George Payton.
And I appreciate the question, Mike, and I'll address the Russ situation, you know, hopefully one time and as thorough as possible. You know, during the bye week, I did reach out to Russ's agent in a good faith and creative attempt to adjust his contract. We couldn't get a deal done. We moved on with our season. It didn't come up again. Fast forward week 17, Sean makes a change at the quarterback position. This was a football decision made by Sean, what he thought was in the best interest of the team. This was completely independent of any conversations I had with the agent. Again, it was a football decision made by Sean. In regards to the negotiations, you know, I'll just keep the specifics private out of respect for really everyone involved. Negotiations are hard. You have difficult conversations, tough conversations, and you can characterize a negotiation really any way you want. And we always try to handle ourselves professionally and in the best interest of the Broncos, and this was no different.
Again, just kind of outlining what happened. He and Greg Penner, that's the company line. That's kind of what they're – the company line right now is, you know, maybe we could have done things a little bit different. Sean Payton was not involved. He was, you know, in prep mode. We were really focused on this. Do you have the other one of George Payton kind of talking about potentially what could happen in the future, that if Russ is open to coming back, if what their thoughts are? I don't know. Let me know if you have that one. But George Payton was also talking about the door being open for Russ to come back. And then that was kind of part of Sean's press conference, too, was that he had had a conversation, a 30-minute conversation with Russ, and if it was goodbye, it would have been right there, and it wasn't. So there is still an opening. Here's George Payton on that.
The door remains open with Russ. I've had good conversations with Russ. Sean's had good conversations. The door is open. And so we'll just kind of get through the process. We'll visit as you know, with the coaching staff, scouting staff. We'll visit with Russ and his people, and we'll go from there.
What does that mean? I mean, they want the money. Those of you that are like, they wronged Russell Wilson and I would get the heck out of Dodge if I were him and they treated him poorly. The meat of the contract, Angel, hasn't even kicked in yet. Yeah, we're talking about how the Broncos are going to suffer. The Broncos are going to pay $39 million for him, $37 million for him to walk away or for them to push him away. But they're also going to save the rest of the money on the contract for the next 5 years. Because it was a five-year extension, right? So they finished the 2 years, and then they had a five-year extension. And then, obviously, the cap hit is major for Denver. It's terrible. I think Zach Stevens was telling us from DNVR Broncos, it's maybe the worst ever. Could be. But Russ and his agency and his people don't want him to leave because $37 million is neat, but there's more money on the table. You're going to play football anyway. You might as well get your contract's worth. Otherwise, you're going to get $37 million, and you're going to go somewhere else, and you'll probably sign on, you know, as a league, probably not league minimum, but I can't imagine you're going to sign, like, what, maybe a two-year, what, $15, $20 million a year deal? I'm not sure what that would look like for Russ at this stage.
So in 2024, Wilson will earn a base salary of $17 million and a signing bonus of $22 million, while carrying a cap hit of $35.4 million and a dead cap value of $85 million. That cap hit goes next year from 35 to 55.
Mm-hmm.
And the dead cap goes from 85 down to 49.
So for Russ, you can see why the door is open. You can see why for him the door is open. This isn't hardball. This isn't him coming in. You wronged me. You offended me by threatening to bench me if I didn't waive my injury guarantee. I'm done with you guys. No, if you leave, you're leaving the remainder. I mean, you said $17 million base next year?
In 2024, and in 2025, that jumps up to $37 million.
So you leave $17 million on the table, then you leave $37 million on the table, and then whatever the following year 40. Is, 40. And then whatever the following year is.
44.
And whatever the following year is.
50.
You leave all that on the table, right?
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Who did this contract?
Oh, no, man. George Payton. What, is Russ going to be 98 years old when the contract's done?
He will be a free agent in 2029. With a potential out in 2026.
Hmm. So, if they... Here's my understanding, Angel. If they release Russell Wilson and they do it on June 1st, that can spread out next the cap hit that they would take. Is it 85? That would spread that out. They could actually, I don't know if they can spread it out evenly, but they could spread it out over 2 years. If they cut Russ, at that point, they have to pay him $37 million. But that is it, correct? That is what they would pay him. Instead of the $17 million base salary next year, instead of the 40, 44, and 50, or whatever that is.
On top of the $10 million signing bonus for each year.
Yeah. So all that's gone if you cut Russ, save for $37 million. So, of course, Russell Wilson wants to stay in Denver because that money is not guaranteed. This is why when you hear about players signing contracts, You before you freak out about the amount of money they're making, always look at the guarantee. That's what they're getting. If a team doesn't like you anymore, whatever, wants to cut you, they can. They have to take a big hit against the salary cap, and it affects them. It puts them in a hole. But they don't necessarily. The owners don't have to lose money by cut. They don't have to give you what they owe you on the rest of the contract. Because when we had Zach on, this is it. $37 million to leave. Russ, if he does leave, will probably end up seeing about $120 million in cash if released. So he saw, and that would be over the last 2 years. The cap hit the Broncos would receive, as Angel was alluding to, $80 million in dead cap in 2024. But if they release him with a post-June 1st designation, they could spread that $80 million. I don't know if it's directly down the middle, but instead of an $80 million cap in 2024, they could spread that out where it's more like a $40 million dead cap in 24 and a $40 million dead cap in 2025. So don't act like the Broncos or Russ have all the leverage. This isn't a Russ coming to them saying, you got to apologize and convince me to stay. No, he definitely wants to be a Denver Bronco. Of course, he says he wants to win championships here. He's leaving. How much are we talking? You said 17, 40. What are we talking? 80, 100, 120, and then 107. Are we talking close to another 170 million? No. Yes. More than that. If you're doing 17, and what was the second year? 40? 44?
49.
And then 50? It's a lot of cheese, dude. You're getting upwards. You're getting close to $200 million, right?
Yes. Which is, you know, his fully guaranteed signing bonus was 124.
The fully guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what he's already...
That's the signing bonus plus 2022 salary, roster bonus plus 2023 and 2024.
So he's already made bank off of the Broncos. He's already has. But Angel, if you see that much money on the table, you want it, right? You want to stay.
For the 3 years after, yes.
Yeah, Russ wants to still play football. It would behoove of him to continue to play football and make that kind of money.
That's crazy that it jumps $20 million base salary in two years.
They backloaded the contract.
Yeah.
So it would behoove Russell Wilson to play football for the Denver Broncos. He's not coming at them saying, "You guys owe me an apology. You guys need to make it right."
Even if it's the next 2 years, you'd be good. You could out in 2026, mm-hmm. and all right, you're good.
So this is why when we say, a lot of hooligans suggested this, what if you just go one more year? You can't just do one more year. If you go one more year, you're signing up for two. Because the cap hit, this is the way this contract was constructed, where it all makes sense to release him now. Next year, it would only make things 10 times worse if you release him next offseason.
But if you take that out in 26, the dead cap goes to 31,
mm-hmm.
which is more manageable than 2 years of 40 if you split it up.
If you released him, if you just kept him for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
that financially, that makes the most sense. But
are you willing to take $30 to $40 million cap hit for an aging quarterback?
Or are you willing to split out $80 million over the next 2 years, take the hit, take the lump, and maybe Jared Stidham can help you win and you're kind of a playoff team? I mean, the perfect scenario based on this scenario would be quarterback A, whoever that is good enough, get your offense better, you win 10 games at least, you get into the playoffs, all while you're still in trouble, but you made the playoffs. And everyone's like, wow, how did they do this? Sean Payton is a Hall of Famer. He's great. The management team pulled it out of their, you know what, and Greg Penner's better than we thought, and George Payton's better than we thought. Worst case scenario is you miss the playoffs next year, and you're screwed. Like, this Russell Wilson thing should have probably cost George Payton his job. And I'm not quite sure why it hasn't. Is this a fix your mess? Because what I've heard is that Sean Payton wants to be in charge of player personnel. He wants to be in charge of drafting. But he also needs the GM to be the business guy. Hey, here's who I want. Here's what they want. Can you make that happen? No, but I'm crunching numbers. Here's what we can do. He wants that guy. And that's what I believe, and I could be wrong, but what I've heard and read is that that's why there's still value for George Payton, because Sean Payton really values what he brings to the table in that area. But everything we heard when the Broncos hired George Payton was that he's this draft guy. He knows his stuff. Anyway, we didn't learn a lot yesterday. Although maybe we learned that the Russ thing is more like 50-50 rather than 80-20 as far as his return to Denver. Cody Tucker coming up. We'll talk to him next. Craig Bohl, we know he retired. He's no longer the head football coach for the Wyoming Cowboys, but he's still keeping busy. Also, the Wyoming Cowboys basketball side of things, where do they stack up in this extremely competitive Mountain West? We'll talk to Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com, coming up next.
Happy. happy new year from the entire KFKA crew. Thanks for making us your station. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Craig Bohl is, we know he retired, he's moving on as the head coach of the Wyoming Cowboys, but it's not done. He's not going to just sit at home and drink Manhattans and smoke cigars for the rest of his life. He's still going to be doing something. Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com joining us now. Man, I always look at these guys like Craig Bohl. I'm like, dude, you made some good money. You found some decent success in your career. Don't do anything. Just sleep in all day. Don't do anything. But these guys want to keep going, man.
It's weird. I'm with you 100%, man. I wish I could let the lottery ruin my life. I'd be all for it. But, yeah, man. So we knew it was a pretty poorly kept secret that he was going to be with the American Football Coaches Association. Spoke to his wife after the game. He will be moving to Dallas, at least part-time, on a part-time basis. So, he was born for this job, Brady. He is known to get on his soapbox and talk about the issues facing college football and what needs to be fixed and where he stands. And I tell you what, he thinks that we're losing the scholastic model, and he's going to fight like hell to make sure that graduation still matters. And kind of, I think he's going to fight really hard to temper this this portal deal, especially when you can just jump to two schools now if you want.
Yeah, so it's only getting worse, right?
Yeah, so, I think he's going to find a way to stop that if he can.
So getting a guy like Craig, I mean, this again, it's you read something like this and it's like, oh, Craig Bohl's going to be in this role, but this is a significant role, and he is going to be a very active voice for college football.
Yeah, and he's already been on every committee you could imagine, and he's very in tune to what's going on around the country. He's very well respected. He's good friends with a guy like Mack Brown. I mean, at North Carolina, those guys have been in this game a long, long time, and they're old school. So they both had to navigate these waters together. Obviously, Mack's still doing it there in Chapel Hill. But, he's very well respected. He was kind of the elder statesman in so many ways of the Mountain West Conference, even though I believe Jeff Tedford's older. But you can really tell how the other Mountain West coaches looked up to him and relied on his expertise.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. Cody, for some of our listeners, when you look at this and they want to learn more, the American Football Coaches Association, talk to us a little bit more about what they're doing. Obviously, they're talking about the big issues surrounding college football.
Yeah, great question. I think you can pretty much say that in a nutshell. They're trying to temper things, and I'm sure they're heavily involved in rules. Something Craig mentioned on his way out the door, the Cowboys actually worked with the helmet speakers during their practice for the Arizona Bowl, and Toledo, for whatever reason, did not agree to use those during the bowl game. He feels like all of the NCAA will have that starting this year, is what he said.
Wow.
I think Toledo probably didn't want to utilize that technology because they lost their quarterback and their running back to the transfer portal, and they probably just, they were probably just in flux a little bit, and they probably didn't want to. I'm obviously just guessing, but he thinks it's going that way because of the sign-stealing stuff with Michigan. But I know he jumps on his soapbox all the time, and he is just, I can't say it enough, man. He is made for a role like this to fix a great game that is just a nick under the NFL right now in popularity. It's a big, big deal. And people are really turned off by this transfer portal stuff, and I get it. One time, sure. Couple times, enough is enough. And not to mention, he loves the NIL part as far as kids making money off their name, image, and likeness, but he hates the part about the tampering and people getting involved and handing out big paychecks, which is ironic seeing that he started his career at Nebraska, I might add.
Well, and on all of that note, too, on the NIL stuff, and that's the thing, like, I think more people, especially as they learn about it, more people in principle do agree with the idea that you can sign an autograph and make some money. You should be able to have if someone wants to buy you a sandwich, it's not considered, you know, a fireable offense. Like all these things should happen, but now regulating it, I don't know how you do it, but I'm guessing better minds like such as Craig Bohl will try to help navigate through that, where we can edit what's happening in college football because it's absolutely out of control.
Yeah, you know, I know he's going to try and get to the bottom of it. And, you know, last year there was a story that came out, and I wish I could remember who wrote it, but somebody was quoted anonymously as saying that Wyoming has one of the best programs as far as building from the ground up. And that's something that they took a lot of pride in, is development and developing players. And they've proven, Craig Bohl has proven time and time again to do that. He's had a ton of guys in the NFL. But this guy who was unnamed essentially said, we wait for the Wyoming Cowboys like vultures, and when they have a dude, man, we go after him. And I asked Craig Bohl his thoughts on somebody saying that, and he said, I'm not changing. We're going to continue to do what we do. But you know that had to piss him off. It had to. And because it's happened. Man, some of the best athletes during his tenure, his late tenure here, have been picked off. And the big question everybody always ponders is, would Josh Allen have even played 2-3 years at Wyoming? And I don't know. I mean, Wyoming was one of the only schools that showed any loyalty to him, the only one that took a chance on him. But it'd be pretty damn hard to turn down Nick Saban giving you a shout and saying, how would you like to play in an SEC title game, or how would you like to play in an Iron Bowl, or play against LSU in front of 100,000 people? It'd be pretty damn hard to turn down.
Well, and especially, too, Cody, because at that time, I don't know, in Josh Allen, maybe toward the end he knew he was obviously going to get to be a top, you know, top 10 draft pick. But I'm sure at one point in his career with Wyoming, he didn't know for sure if he was going to be an NFL guy. So you see why NIL money makes a difference, because you don't know if you're going to be a pro. So if someone approaches you with all that money and to play at this big-time school, you take it. And it's hard for us to blame a lot of these guys.
Yeah, and I think we're all about that. I think we're on the same page. I just watched a documentary about Peyton Manning the other night, and you see all these number 16s in the stands in Knoxville when he was at Tennessee. He didn't get a dime off that stuff. I'm all for them getting a dime off their jersey. That's awesome. That's good stuff. And I really think Wyoming and its fans would have thrown some cash behind Josh Allen to keep him here. But to me, like I kind of mentioned, I think it's really hard to turn down the bright lights. Like, hey, Josh, you want to come play in the big house against Ohio State? You want to play for a potential national championship? Wyoming can't do that for you. You know, and maybe now with the 12-team playoff, maybe it'll temper it a little bit. But at the time, Wyoming can't do that for you. And being realistic, Wyoming really can't do that for you. So it's tough.
Well, I'll be curious to see how Craig Bohl does. Cody, is this going to be something that you are occasionally following, just to kind of see what he's up to? Any bits of news that maybe something he's fighting for extra hard? Or are you going to be glancing at this once in a while?
Yeah, and it won't be hard. It won't be hard to know what he has his fingerprints on, for sure. He's a huge believer in this game and the scholastic model, and he actually gave me some guff in one of his later press conferences because, you know, I didn't mock him in my column saying that, you know, graduation rates are cool and all, but, I think we all want a banner. I think a banner is more important to us. And he didn't like that very much because he very much believes in the scholastic model and that guys need to graduate and get a meaningful degree.
I get it, and I appreciate that. I'd rather a coach say that than not, but I'm with you. I won't be able to tell you what a certain player's GPA was, but I might be able to tell you how many touchdowns they threw. I mean, I can pull that off my head really quickly.
Honestly, that's all I care about. I mean, I'm happy, and I don't mean to sound crappy about that.
I get it.
I want them to be successful and all that and graduate, but go play and win and stay eligible. That's what I care about as a fan.
Well, and you started the segment with this, saying how close college football is to the NFL. Yes, but we don't, in the NFL, I don't care what you do in your spare time. I don't care that you're really smart and you read a book. With college,
don't get arrested.
we're doing the same thing with college, but we're watching it the same way, but suddenly we have to switch our brains off. You know, that was a great pass, but you know what's more important was that science test that he took the other day. That was fantastic. Nobody cares.
Yeah, and it's the old adage. I know everybody said it 100 times. You know, you don't pay all this money to go watch these cats take a math test. You're paying money to watch them win on Saturday, and And that is the truth. And you know, and he also will be the first to admit, you know, it comes down to wins and losses. Because when you talk about Greg Bull's legacy, his graduation rate's pretty far down the pecking order.
Yeah. Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com, our Wyoming Cowboys insider. A couple of games going on last night in the Mountain West Conference. We've talked a lot about CSU losing last night in Boise State. Rough go there. The Wyoming Cowboys, they lose pretty rough second half for the Cowboys against Utah State. But even going back further for in that New Mexico game, Cody, I was impressed that the Cowboys just kept staying in touch. They obviously New Mexico ends up winning, I think, by double digits. But yep. I was impressed that they just kind of kept hanging around.
Yeah, so Jeff Linder implored his guys, please do not dig a huge first half hole. And they played so well last night in Logan in the first half. It was a two-point game at the break. But, man, you can't give Utah State an 11-0 run right out of the gate. And 16-3 overall. The Cowboys hit just six field goals out of 18 attempts in the second 20. It was a polar opposite, you know, at New Mexico. They went down huge, even against San Jose State in the Mountain West opener. They were down 17 at the half at home, and you cannot dig holes like that, especially with how good the Mountain West is right now. And I don't think any of us are under the illusion that, you know, the Wyoming Cowboys are going to do huge things this year in the regular season, but man, it's hard. It's real hard, Brady, to not look at what Utah State is doing, man. They have the nation's longest winning streak right now. They had 0 points returning from last year's team that went to the tournament. They've gone through two head coaches in the last, 4 years? You know, they get this new cat Sprinkle out of Montana State. He brings two dudes with him. He goes and makes the portal work for Utah State. And next thing you know, they're 14-1. They're good, man. They're balanced and they're really good on both ends of the floor. And it's just kind of, if you're the Wyoming Cowboys, you got to aspire to be like that. And you have to openly wonder, and I don't know if this is fair, but I have to openly wonder, you know, Utah State went and got a lot of D1 transfers. Wyoming went out and got a really good player out of Fort Lewis, really good player out of Jamestown. You know, those are not Division I programs. And Linder mentioned last night, you can't let the spectrum get rocking like that because Utah is so miserable and boring. The only thing they do is go to the basketball game. So they are packed. It's packed, and it's a wild atmosphere. And, you know, he said it afterwards, Mason Walters has never played in front of anything like this. Neither is Aquil Cott, and neither is Sam Griffin. And it's like, man, do you need to get D1 transfers? I couldn't help but think that after the game.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100% there. Cody, when you look at the rest of this conference, man, we keep saying it. It is really good, and you just said it. I mean, Utah State leading the way there. We know San Diego State's going to do their thing. Nevada's good. Boise State now 2-0. Boise State's interesting. I watched them against San Jose State, and it took a comeback win for them to get it. They handled CSU relatively easy last night. So this is a stacked conference, man. I worry about, you know, for CSU fans, I worry about the trip to Wyoming even. I think that that's going to be a heck of a game.
Yeah, and, you know, San Jose State's a good example. They had a 17-point lead in Laramie, and then they were hanging toe-to-toe with San Diego State last night and lost in the end. So, and that's a San Jose State arena with nobody in it. Nobody. So these teams they're tough. And, you know, even bottom of the barrel teams like Air Force, man, they make you work for every damn thing you get down there. So I'm with you, man. I think CSU coming to Laramie, I don't automatically chalk that up as a W for CSU. They came up here and lost last year. Nevada lost here last year. Wyoming went in the pit and won last year. So it's just it's always been a weird, wild conference that beats the hell out of each other, seemingly. But, you know, Boise State, I think they've done themselves a real favor by playing a really tough non-conference schedule, and I think it's going to pay off for them, and it's starting to already.
Yeah, they're looking good, man. The whole conference is looking good. Cody, my man, what are you working on that we can check out at 7220sports.com? I'm expecting a big write-up on Nikola Jokic as you've been taking some Nuggets action lately.
Yeah, I have nothing going on. I'm going to write about the moron that fouled me during my basketball career and sent me to the free throw line for my only 2 points.
Your only 2 points in your career came from somebody fouling you, and you went to the charity stripe.
Yeah, my first thought is, who the hell fouled me, and where's that guy today?
Oh, that's excellent. You got your points, man. You should be thanking that dude.
Yeah, I'm afraid that dude's no longer with us, whoever he was.
He probably got hit by a car or something. I don't know. But it is hilarious because you texted me the other night and you're like, dude, I kind of caught the end of that Nuggets game, Nikola Jokic, right? And so I'm telling you, he's unlike anybody else in the NBA. So if there's one guy that a non-NBA fan can get into, that would be the one.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you I'm going to give it my all to pay attention. I just, the squeaky shoes and the fouls and the traveling and the three-point shots and the 150 points scored, I just can't do it.
Well, they play at 8 o'clock tonight on ESPN, Cody. They're going up against the Jazz, so.
Utah, my favorite. Yeah, that's the team I unfortunately played for in my Little League career, so
what was the team called?
The Jazz.
Just the Jazz. Nice.
I'm still embarrassed by that, and I'm 40 years old. I never wanted anything Utah touching my body.
What was your free throw style like? Did you do a granny shot, or what? Did it look smooth? What did it look like?
Well, it wasn't that bad. It obviously went in. I actually won a free throw shooting hoops thing in Cheyenne, which is insanity. I am a hideous basketball player, I will admit.
But you can hit the free throws.
Yeah, but nobody fouls me. That's the problem. I never had the free throw line.
Hey, you're good enough where they had a scouting report on you, and they're like, this guy, get him to the line and lights out, so do not foul him, man. Let him do whatever else. Just don't send him to the line. And then, Billy Bob fouls you, and that was his last game ever, too. So
can you think about not fouling that guy when he's in for 40 seconds that he's going to play today, please?
Cody, appreciate it, man. Always look forward to these chats, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Brady. Have a great week.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Yeah, he's texting me. Dude, he's not anti-basketball. He covers college basketball. He's just not a big NBA guy at all. He's a big hockey guy. So he texts me randomly. It's like, dude, I just caught the tail end of that Nuggets-Warriors game when the Nuggets came back down 18 with 6:50 left and Joker hits the buzzer beater. And I was like, get it? You're getting it now, man? This is a different team. It's got a different vibe than what you're used to with the NBA because of Nikola Jokic. 40 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Craig Bohl is, we know he retired, he's moving on as the head coach of the Wyoming Cowboys, but it's not done. He's not going to just sit at home and drink Manhattans and smoke cigars for the rest of his life. He's still going to be doing something. Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com joining us now. Man, I always look at these guys like Craig Bohl. I'm like, dude, you made some good money. You found some decent success in your career. Don't do anything. Just sleep in all day. Don't do anything. But these guys want to keep going, man.
It's weird. I'm with you 100%, man. I wish I could let the lottery ruin my life. I'd be all for it. But yeah, man. So we knew it was a pretty poorly kept secret that he was going to be with the American Football Coaches Association. Spoke to his wife after the game. He will be moving to Dallas, at least part-time, on a part-time basis. So, he was born for this job, Brady. He is known to get on his soapbox and talk about the issues facing college football and what needs to be fixed and where he stands. And I tell you what, he thinks that we're losing the scholastic model, and he's going to fight like hell to make sure that graduation still matters. And I think he's going to fight really hard to temper this this portal deal, especially when you can just jump to two schools now if you want.
Yeah, so, it's only getting worse, right?
Yeah, so, I think he's going to find a way to stop that if he can.
So getting a guy like Craig, I mean, this again, it's you read something like this and it's like, oh, Craig Bohl's going to be in this role, but this is a significant role, and he is going to be a very active voice for college football.
Yeah, and he's already been on every committee you could imagine, and he's very in tune to what's going on around the country. He's very well respected. He's good friends with a guy like Mac Brown. I mean, at North Carolina, those guys have been in this game a long, long time, and they're old school. So they both had to navigate these waters together. Obviously, Mac's still doing it there in Chapel Hill. But, he's very well respected. He was kind of the elder statesman in so many ways of the Mountain West Conference, even though I believe Jeff Tedford's older. But you could really tell how the other Mountain West coaches looked up to him and relied on his expertise.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. Cody, for some of our listeners, when you look at this and they want to learn more, the American Football Coaches Association, talk to us a little bit more about what they're doing. Obviously, they're talking about the big issues surrounding college football.
Yeah, great question. I think you can pretty much say that in a nutshell. They're trying to temper things, and I'm sure they're heavily involved in rules. Something Craig mentioned on his way out the door, the Cowboys actually worked with the helmet speakers during their practice for the Arizona Bowl, and Toledo, for whatever reason, did not agree to use those during the bowl game. He feels like all of the NCAA will have that starting this year, is what he said.
Wow.
I think Toledo probably didn't want to utilize that technology because they lost their quarterback and their running back to the transfer portal, and they probably just, they were probably just in flux a little bit, and they probably didn't want to. I'm obviously just guessing, but he thinks it's going that way because of the sign-stealing stuff with Michigan. But I know he jumps on his soapbox all the time, and he is just – I can't say it enough, man. He is made for a role like this to fix a great game that is just a nick under the NFL right now in popularity. It's a big, big deal. And people are really turned off by this transfer portal stuff, and I get it. One time, sure. A couple times, enough is enough. And not to mention, he loves the NIL part as far as kids making money off their name, image, and likeness, but he hates the part about the tampering and people getting involved and handing out big paychecks, which is ironic seeing that he started his career at Nebraska, I might add.
well, and on all of that note, too, on the NIL stuff, and that's the thing, like, I think more people, especially as they learn about it, more people in principle do agree with the idea that you can sign an autograph and make some money. You should be able to have if someone wants to buy you a sandwich, it's not considered, a fireable offense. Like, all these things should happen, but now regulating it, I don't know how you do it, but I'm guessing better minds such as Craig Bohl will try to help navigate through that, where we can edit what's happening in college football because it's absolutely out of control.
Yeah, I know he's going to try and get to the bottom of it. And, last year there was a story that came out, and I wish I could remember who wrote it, but somebody was quoted anonymously as saying that Wyoming has one of the best programs as far as building from the ground up, and that's something that they took a lot of pride in, is development and developing players. And they've proven, Craig Bohl has proven time and time again to do that. He's had a ton of guys in the NFL, but this guy who was unnamed essentially said, we wait for the Wyoming Cowboys like vultures, and when they have a dude, man, we go after him. And I asked Craig Bohl his thoughts on somebody saying that, and he said, I'm not changing, we're going to continue to do what we do. But that had to piss him off. It had to. And because it's happened, man, some of the best athletes during his late tenure here have been picked off. And the big question everybody always ponders is, would Josh Allen have even played 2-3 years at Wyoming? And I don't know. I mean, Wyoming was one of the only schools that showed any loyalty to him, the only one that took a chance on him, but it'd be pretty damn hard to turn down Nick Saban giving you a shout and saying, how would you like to play in an SEC title game, or how would you like to play in an Iron Bowl, or play against LSU in front of 100,000 people? It'd be pretty damn hard to turn down.
Well, and especially, too, Cody, because at that time, I don't know, in Josh Allen, maybe toward the end he knew he was obviously going to get to be a top 10 draft pick. But I'm sure at one point in his career with Wyoming, he didn't know for sure if he was going to be an NFL guy. So you see why NIL money makes a difference, because you don't know if you're going to be a pro. So if someone approaches you with all that money and to play at this big-time school, you take it, and it's hard for us to blame a lot of these guys.
Yeah, and I think we're all about that. I think we're on the same page. I just watched a documentary about Peyton Manning the other night, and you see all these number 16s in the stands in Knoxville when he was at Tennessee. He didn't get a dime off that stuff. I'm all for them getting a dime off their jersey. That's awesome. That's good stuff. And I really think Wyoming and its fans would have thrown some cash behind Josh Allen to keep him here. But to me, like I kind of mentioned, I think it's really hard to turn down the bright lights. Like, hey, Josh, you want to come play in the big house against Ohio State? You want to play for a potential national championship? Wyoming can't do that for you. And maybe now with the 12-team playoff, maybe it'll temper it a little bit. But at the time, Wyoming can't do that for you. And being realistic, Wyoming really can't do that for you. So it's tough.
Well, I'll be curious to see how Craig Bohl does. Cody, is this going to be something that you are occasionally following just to kind of see what he's up to? Any bits of news that maybe something he's fighting for extra hard? Or are you going to be glancing at this once in a while?
Yeah, and it won't be hard. It won't be hard to know what he has his fingerprints on, for sure. He's a huge believer in this game and the Scholastic model, and he actually gave me some guff in one of his later press conferences because, you know, I didn't mock him in my column saying that, you know, graduation rates are cool and all, but, I think we all want a banner. I think a banner is more important to us, and he didn't like that very much because he very much believes in the Scholastic model and that guys need to graduate and get a meaningful degree.
I get it, and I appreciate that. I'd rather a coach say that than not, but I'm with you. I won't be able to tell you what a certain player's GPA was, but I might be able to tell you how many touchdowns they threw. I mean, I pull that off my head really quickly.
Honestly, that's all I care about. I mean, I'm happy, and I don't mean to sound crappy about that.
I get it.
I want them to be successful and all that and graduate, but go play. Go play and win and stay eligible. That's what I care about as a fan.
Well, and you started the segment with this saying how close college football is to the NFL. Yes, yep. But we don't in the NFL. I don't care what you do in your spare time. I don't care that you're really smart and you read a book. With college,
yes, just don't get arrested.
we're doing the same thing with college, but yeah. we're watching it the same way. But suddenly we have to switch our brains off. You know, that was a great pass, but you know what's more important was that science test that he took the other day. That was fantastic. Nobody cares.
Yeah, and it's the old adage. I know everybody said it 100 times. You know, you don't pay all this money to go watch these cats take a math test. you're paying money to watch them win on Saturday, and that is the truth. And he also will be the first to admit, you know, it comes down to wins and losses. Because when you talk about Craig Bohl's legacy, his graduation rate's pretty far down the pecking order.
Yeah, Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com, our Wyoming Cowboys insider. Couple of games going on last night in the Mountain West Conference. We've talked a lot about CSU losing last night in Boise State. Rough go there. The Wyoming Cowboys, they lose pretty rough second half for the Cowboys against Utah State. But even going back further in that New Mexico game, Cody, I was impressed that the Cowboys just kept staying in touch. They obviously, New Mexico ends up winning, I think, by double digits, but yep. I was impressed that they just kind of kept hanging around.
Yeah, so Jeff Linder implored his guys, please do not dig a huge first half hole. And they played so well last night in Logan in the first half. It was a 2-point game at the break, but man, you can't give Utah State an 11-0 run right out of the gate. And 16-3 overall. The Cowboys hit just 6 field goals out of 18 attempts in the second 20. It was a polar opposite, you know, at New Mexico. They went down huge, even against San Jose State in the Mountain West opener. They were down 17 at the half at home, and you cannot dig holes like that, especially with how good the Mountain West is right now. And I don't think any of us are under the illusion that, you know, the Wyoming Cowboys are going to do huge things this year in the regular season, but man, it's hard. It's real hard, Brady, to not look at what Utah State is doing, man. They have the nation's longest winning streak right now. They had 0 points returning from last year's team that went to the tournament. They've gone through 2 head coaches in the last, 4 years? They get this new cat Sprinkle out of Montana State. He brings 2 dudes with him. He goes and makes the portal work for Utah State, and next thing you know, they're 14-1. They're good, man. They're balanced and they're really good on both ends of the floor. And it's just kind of, if you're the Wyoming Cowboys, you got to aspire to be like that. And you have to openly wonder, and I don't know if this is fair, but I have to openly wonder, you know, Utah State went and got a lot of D1 transfers. Wyoming went out and got a really good player out of Fort Lewis, really good player out of Jamestown. You know, those are not Division I programs. And Linder mentioned last night, you can't let the spectrum get rocking like that because Utah is so miserable and boring. The only thing they do is go to the basketball game. So they are packed. It's packed, and it's a wild atmosphere. And, he said it afterwards, Mason Walters has never played in front of anything like this. Neither is Aquil Cott, and neither is Sam Griffin. And it's like, man, do you need to get D1 transfers? I couldn't help but think that after the game.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100% there. Cody, when you look at the rest of this conference, man, we keep saying it. is really good, and you just said it. I mean, Utah State leading the way there. We know San Diego State's going to do their thing. Nevada's good. Boise State now 2-0. Boise State's interesting. I watched them against San Jose State, and it took a comeback win for them to get it. They handled CSU relatively easy last night. So this is a stacked conference, man. I worry about, you know, for CSU fans, I worry about the trip to Wyoming even. I think that that's going to be a heck of a game.
Yeah, and, you know, San Jose State's a good example. They had a 17-point lead in Laramie, and then they were hanging toe-to-toe with San Diego State last night and lost in the end. So, and that's a San Jose State arena with nobody in it. Nobody. So these teams are they're tough. And, you know, even bottom-of-the-barrel teams like Air Force, man, they make you work for every damn thing you get down there. So I'm with you, man. I think CSU coming to Laramie, I don't automatically chalk that up as a W for CSU. They came up here and lost last year. Nevada lost here last year. Wyoming went in the pit and won last year. So it's just it's always been a weird, wild conference that beats the hell out of each other, seemingly. But, you know, Boise State, I think they've done themselves a real favor by playing a really tough non-conference schedule, and I think it's going to pay off for them, and it's starting to already.
Yeah, they're looking good, man. The whole conference is looking good. Cody, my man, what are you working on that we can check out at 7220sports.com? I'm expecting a big write-up on Nikola Jokic, as you've been taking some Nuggets action lately.
Yeah, I have nothing going on. I'm going to write about the moron that fouled me during my basketball career and sent me to the free throw line for my only 2 points.
Your only 2 points in your career came from somebody fouling you, and you went to the charity stripe.
Yeah, my first thought is, who the hell fouled me, and where's that guy today?
Oh, that's excellent. You got your points, man. You should be thanking that dude.
Yeah, I'm afraid that dude's no longer with us, whoever he was.
He probably got hit by a car or something. I don't know. But it is hilarious because you texted me the other night and you're like, dude, I kind of caught the end of that Nuggets game, Nikola Jokic, right? And so I'm telling you, he's unlike anybody else in the NBA. So if there's one guy that a non-NBA fan can get into, that would be the one.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you I'm going to give it my all to pay attention. I just the squeaky shoes and the fouls and the traveling and the 3-point shots and the 150 points scored. I just can't do it.
Well, they play at 8 o'clock tonight on ESPN, Cody. They're going up against the Jazz. So,
Utah, my favorite. Yeah, that's the team I unfortunately played for in my little league career. So
what was the team called?
The Jazz.
Just the Jazz. Nice.
I'm still embarrassed by that, and I'm 40 years old. I never wanted anything Utah touching my body.
What was your free throw style like? Did you do a granny shot, or what? Did it look smooth? What did it look like?
Well, it wasn't that bad. It obviously went in. I actually won a free throw shooting hoops thing which I am insanity. I am a hideous basketball player, I will admit.
But you can hit the free throws.
Yeah, but nobody fouls me. That's the problem. I never had the free throw line.
Hey, you're good enough where they had a scouting report on you, and they're like, this guy, get him to the line and lights out, so do not foul him, man. Let him do whatever else. Just don't send him to the line. And then, you know, Billy Bob fouls you, and that was his last game ever, too. So
yeah, can you think about not fouling that guy when he's in for 40 seconds that he's going to play today, please?
Cody, appreciate it, man. Always look forward to these chats, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Brady. Have a great week.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Yeah, he's texting me. Dude, he's not anti-basketball. He covers college basketball. He's just not a big NBA guy at all. He's a big hockey guy. So he texts me randomly. It's like, dude, I just caught the tail end of that Nuggets-Warriors game when the Nuggets came back down 18 with 6:50 left and Joker hits the buzzer beater. And I was like, get it? You're getting it now, man? This is a different team. It's got a different vibe than what you're used to with the NBA because of Nikola Jokic. 40 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, what do you say?
Learn on this 10th day of January. Well, I learned we've got a lot of coaching changes happening Obviously, hearing that Pete Carroll is out as the Seattle Seahawks head coach, but he will be an advisor. He will be some kind of an advisor to the Seahawks. So what is that? Is that a more of a peaceful? Hey, that was a shock, though. So I don't think it was a forcing out or anything like that. But what we've learned the last couple of days is organizations are impatient. Coaches that have been there for a long time, you're starting to feel it's time. You know, a guy like Carroll, and I always was a fan of Pete Carroll, but you know, we're learning that between impatient organizations and coaches that have just kind of, maybe like a Mike Tomlin, have just kind of, yeah, I've done it. I've won a Super Bowl. Time to move on. So expect more of that. Sad time, interesting time. Angel, what'd you learn today?
Yeah, kind of on that, wondering, has the margin decreased from 3 years to 2 years? Obviously, with Mike Vrabel only getting, you know, two losing seasons, obviously that's not great, but, you know, we all kind of thought he was more of a staple there in Tennessee. Pete Carroll, obviously a legacy coach now for Seattle, made the playoffs. You know, what were you going to do without Russ? Made the playoffs, you missed the playoffs. So, yeah. You know, is it just age? Is it I'm just ready to be done? Belichick, you know, they've been out of the playoffs, what, 3 years now? Or 2 years?
Two,
maybe?
Yeah, because yeah. Didn't they make
it? They made it in 21.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the margin's definitely interesting. This newfound young coach movement is interesting. How long do these guys last in their jobs? But it's kind of like you need to win now or you're gone.
Yeah.
You need to win every year.
And like we said yesterday, it resets. Even when you win, even if you win at all, have a losing season, it resets. You're back on the, you know, we can judge you fairly now, even though you won a Super Bowl. That does not have staying power for that long. Tonight we have the nerd shows coming up, the Nerd Madness saga, as we have Nick Snacks, the Nerd Show, and Fat Guys at the Movies. So good opportunity to tune into some random nerdiness.
Imagine they'll be talking some Star Wars. Got some news about that yesterday.
What's happening? Darth Vader come back?
Well, there's the Mandalorian movie coming
out. I like the Mandalorian.
And then Ahsoka Season 2 is being developed.
I haven't seen that one yet.
You should watch it.
But Mandalorian, that's good. You don't even have to be like a diehard Star Wars person to enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
It helps. I know enough to be dangerous.
I mean, it's, you know. Little Grogu, he's adorable, and who doesn't love a faceless hero?
I want Grogu.
I have a code, but I'm going to kill for my code and my child.
If you guys haven't seen it, even the non-nerdy people out there listening, Mandalorians, it's like a Western, but in space. That's how it feels. It's basically Star Wars. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Good night, Northern Colorado.